Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Time now for Fitzy and Mega with Nick Fitzy Stevens and Megan Ottolini on WEEI.
Like to watch? Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Bridges the miss. Tatum the rebound. He discarded LaMelo. He got crushed by Williams at half court. Look out. Former teammates. And Tatum got up in a hurry. Tatum coming up the floor.
Oh, what is that?
Come on, Grant.
What is that? Why would he do that?
Not a basketball play.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Come on, Grant.
The play has been upgraded to a flagrant foul penalty, too.
Oh, see ya. Williams
has been ejected from the game.
Good afternoon, everyone. We welcome you to the Fitzy and Mego program on Boston Sports Original 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEEI.com, and as always, our fabulous affiliates all throughout New England and Boston Sports Nation. Please feel free to join our program to discuss one and many a topic at any point, 617-779-7937. That's your telephone number. Of course, if you call in, you'll say, hello, Joe Braverman, how are you? He'll be greeting you on the other side of the glass as our producer extraordinaire. While also, no, I asked you, Joe, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. And I'm glad to actually see you guys in person.
Isn't this wild?
This is the first time we're all together.
I know. Oh, you've got, you're giving off big, happy, like family never gets together enough vibes.
I mean, I'm not wrong.
No, you're not at all. I love it, too.
I would say it reminds me of one of my parents, but unfortunately, it does not.
No?
No, they're not the type that are like, oh, look at this, everybody together. They're just like, so wait, what state are you in right now?
Yeah. Are you on nights? Yeah. They do sports radio on the weekends? Yeah, they do. They do. And people like us get to do it, and we're happy to do it and share it with you. As well, Joe, I'm the kind of guy that, you know, I too am like a, I'll sit down at the table and just be like, isn't this nice, all of us together? Look at all these beautiful faces. Ken and Curtis in here doing their award-winning program from 9 to 12, setting the table. We'll be here with you until 3 o'clock, at which point we throw it to, what collegiate sport?
The top-ranked team in college football in the Big House, Oregon and Michigan.
Oregon, ooh. Michigan.
That's a spicy
contest. Dang, that's a nice little mid-Saturday matchup.
Might
for
have
you
to
right
have
there.
Myself a Southie Saturday.
Ooh, don't
what
rub it in.
What does that mean?
What are you gonna go get beers and tacos?
I don't know. I'm meeting friends. Jealous. I'm just gonna be bopping around.
I know you're bopping.
Yeah, we're bopping around.
Mego be bopping.
There's a birthday. It'll be
nice.
Good. Yeah, I'm excited.
It's very autumnal. This seems like the kind of day that could easily extend well into the evening. Some tasty beverages, some
and
delicious food.
In bed before 10, perfect.
What's better than that? This has happened. I love wearing vests now. All of a sudden, I like fall. Going to bed early is cool.
I swear to you, my husband and I had a dinner reservation at 5:45 last night.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
And we walk in. It was at Layla's American Tavern in Southie. We go in and we sit down and he looks around and he goes, there's so many kids in this bar. And I said, because it's not 6 o'clock. This is when all the actual families in Southie bring their toddlers to you.
Yeah, way to recognize it, Grandpa.
Yeah, no kidding. Was he wearing a cardigan?
He was like, I didn't know this many people brought their
kids to a bar. Did Argyle or Corduroy factor into the equation?
I'm like, it doesn't turn into a bar until like 8 p.m.
Right.
We're extremely early
right
now. We're
nice.
Here for the blue plate special.
Did you get a freebie? Was there any sort of discount?
No, but then I went to a bar next door where I'm a sucker. I wonder how you feel about this, and I promise we'll get to the Grant Williams stuff. But we'll talk about it all day. I am still young at heart in that I love a, like, what would you call it? Like a novelty drink. So I went to the bar next door, and they had a drink that
novelty
was called...
Novelty cocktail, we'll say.
Yeah, yes, like, sure. And that had a shark in it. And I got to be honest, I thought it was going to be like one of those big gummy sharks. Mm-hmm. So I ordered it, but it was a big plastic shark.
Oh, that's...
So they just stuck a big plastic shark in
my drink. A big plastic shark
they
got at Five Below or the dollar store?
I'll show you a photo.
Well, at least it wasn't shark meat.
I was just kind of like, oh, I thought this was going to be like something edible that you put on the drink. Because, you know, you go places and they have like, oh, here's a... No, it was just like a big plastic shark that kind of looked like a whale.
Perfect.
Anyway...
37937 if you've recently encountered a plastic shark. Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah. Wow.
See?
Looks like sort of like a blueberry kind of cocktail with a little baby shark.
Do you know
on
what
top.
It was? And again, what? This is just like, I'm not going to name the bar, but it was a confusing drink. It was Tito's vodka with Blue Zero Gatorade.
Oh, that's a rally bev.
Yeah, I was like, I think I used to make this for myself in college.
Yeah.
And I think I put it in a Camelback one time. I'm
that's
not
what
kidding.
You drink when you were out a little too late the night before and you need to start rallying up for the Saturday that you overindulged in advance of on
well,
Friday.
Well, I knew that we would
have
do
blue
this
Gatorade
show.
In the, Joe, can you go get some Tito's for us? We have blue Gatorade in the fridge.
We do?
I am old
Whose
enough.
Whose is it?
I don't know. It's ours now.
I'm not drinking it if it's like Wiki's. I don't want to take
it's
that.
It's been there. It's my rule about work fridges, and I swear, we'll get to Grant Williams, a.k.a. the Blue Zero Gatorade, a.k.a. the plastic shark in the beverage of Boston sports right now in just a second. My rule is this. If you leave something in a work fridge over a month long, that's it. It's public domain.
You have to put your name on everything. That's what
do.
I do.
It starts with a Sharpie. Everything good in life starts with
a
Sharpie.
I lost a burrito in there once, and I never forgot. People don't forget.
Wait, did the burrito just like get devoured by someone else, or is it still in there?
I put the burrito in because I knew I was doing the night show, and this was when I was still doing Quick Slants. I knew I used to come straight from Quick Slants into the night show here, and I had like, I basically had a 15-minute drive, and so I would have something in the fridge from the weekend so I could eat it.
Yeah,
and my burrito was gone, and I was starving.
I guarantee you, it was likely one of those no good producers. Just starving. Oh, and insert, here comes Braverman. How dare
no,
you,
No, I
sir.
Came in at 2022. This was before my time.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a crime. You can't never, you first of all, you label everything and you never touch another woman's burrito. Save that drop, Joe. All right. Speaking of touching another woman's burrito, Grant Williams. 37937 is the text line. Holler at us on the socials as well. We're on at WEEI. I'm Nick Stevens, a.k.a. at Fitzy GFY. And this is at Megan_Ottolini. Okay.
Very bothered by your cardigans.
Hey, watch it, buddy. I pull off wearing cardigans during the hall. Cardigans are great. I would just imagine the lovely Miss Megan, who came in dressed like a professional person as opposed to the slobs O'Reilly over here for the radio program, going out to dinner, a proper supper, and your husband, Mr. Him, just at 5:45, probably, you know. He had just tucked his monocle into the single pocket on his vest.
No, he took out the bifocals to read the menu. And then he said, it's so dim in here.
We're all going to get old at some point anyways. I've already begun the process. Good Lord. Zero is not Gatorade. It's Powerade.
No, they have Gatorade Zero now.
They have Gatorade Zero. Yeah, they had G2 and Gatorade Zero. Come on, guys. Get with the program.
Please keep up.
Yeah, God, watch me for changes and try to keep up. Okay. Let me just ask this question.
Yes.
What the hell happened at the Spectrum Center last night? I had watched bits and pieces of the game. I was out with some friends. Shout out, as you know I always will, to any place that has a quality bite of food or a beverage. Seventh Wave Brewing in Medfield. Holy smokes. Go check it out. Tremendous local little upstart craft brewery with great homemade pizzas. Anyway, so we'd watched some basketball, hanging out with friends. And I knew the Celtics were going to take care of it. It was closer than anticipated. But, okay, they'll take care of business. So right before bed, cursory check of some highlights on the X platform, doom scrolling, getting ready for the radio show, and I see the Grant Williams thing. And all I think is, you have got to be essing me. What this human being who already had almost painted himself into a, I won't say villainous lane or view in Boston, but he sort of looked upon as like a sad figure in Boston sports.
I think he, even before this, was looked upon as a punk. Like,
is he a dipstick? Is he a punk? Is he a dumbass?
With the "I'll make them both" comment. And
I'm gonna make them both.
Yeah, and riling up Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Like, he just, he's had so many strikes against him in terms of just being unnecessarily stupid in games.
He gets out over his emotional and competitive skis frequently and gets other people around him in trouble. But I do not know what was going through his mind last night. You heard the highlight at the top of the show. I'm sure by this point you've probably seen the highlight as well. It didn't look like he was diving for anything except that he wanted to, you know, as college football surrounds us on monitors here in the studios, I wouldn't have been surprised if they just decided to look at the monitor and go, that's targeting. That's literally what it looked like Grant Williams was doing, trying to helmet free, run across the court and spear the hip of his, quote, friend, his homeboy, as he called him later on in that interview, Jason Tatum. He could have popped his hip. He could have knocked something out of socket. He could have hurt himself. I just don't know what he was thinking. What was going through his mind? Yeah.
Nothing! It was so dumb. It was so dumb. It looked like a prank. It looked like he was pulling a prank on his buddy in the middle of the court.
Like
the way that he used his whole body as a weapon.
Watch this.
This is what's going through his mind.
I'm going to go through. Yeah, I could run over to the Mass Pike right now with my phone and record 45 seconds of traffic passing from the overhead bridge
like
by the stockyard.
It looked like something out of Jackass.
Yeah, it
did. He literally threw himself at Jason Tatum in the middle of the court while he's bringing the ball up. It's like, what are you thinking? And
it's not a full contact sport, for God's sakes.
You don't do that against somebody that's just an everyday player. You definitely don't do that against the highest paid player in the freaking league. What are you thinking? Sorry, what is in your brain? Like, it's just tumbleweeds blowing across there, Grant Williams? And he's supposed to be your friend. Like, Tatum's probably the one who got him in the locker room for the celebration after they won the championship, because Grant was, like, weirdly hanging around. And this is unfortunate.
I'm telling you, he's a sad figure. He reminds me of when a bad guy, like a villain, has like an acolyte or like a hanger-on, like a lackey, and they keep trying to do things to impress you, and then all they end up doing is causing more trouble. And eventually you have to take a drive with them into the woods, and then you have to leave them there.
Grant Williams is who Jones wants Marcus Smart to be. Like, he wants him to be this reckless, ridiculous person
on the court.
I am disappointed, too, because Grant, when he was here, he did do a lot of good off-court work. He got an award for the community service that he did with the Shamrock Foundation that the Celtics run.
No, they traded Smart!
He did a lot of, like, great stuff, and so I don't want to take away from that or say that his, like, character is bad or anything like that, because I don't know him.
At first, he strikes you as somebody reasonably affable with half a heart.
But this was his friend, and it's the highest paid guy in the league, and you just threw your body at him in the middle of the court. Like, it's ridiculous. It's so stupid. It was so pointless. It's not like it was a hard foul under the rim, or they got tangled up in each other's arms diving for a loose ball, or these things where sometimes guys get a little extra right after the foul or right after the play and it results in a foul. You know, in the heat of the moment, guys get it was just ridiculous. Like,
did he lose track? I'm watching it again for the 100th time, Mego, and it's like Grant Williams just lost track of where he was. I would like to remind everyone, a basketball court is only 94 feet long. It's not so big that you can lose track of yourself, somebody else that you're guarding, your friend. He just comes running across the entire court and hip checks him. Like, this is something you do when Grant Williams looks like the goon that was sent off the bench to go take care of Jason Tatum, the elite scorer, you know, like a Pasternak or a McDavid. Like, an absolute goon move. If I'm Tatum, he looks so mad when he got up, too. Like,
yeah.
Did Grant think this was going to be funny?
That's what I'm saying. It, like, looked like a
prank. Oh, it's okay. We're dudes. We hippie check.
It's
we
hip so check
yeah, we're hanging out later. Like, no,
it's
don't
bizarre.
Do this.
It's bizarre. It looks strange. And I don't understand what the motivation was there. If he thought that it was just going to be a look, like he's incredibly tough, like he's so out of control, like aggro alpha guy that's going to bring this physicality to the NBA, it's just dumb. It was so stupid. It was very reckless. And people might think I'm overreacting, but it's just so pointless to do something like that when you can actually really hurt the superstar on the other team.
After the game, Jaylen Brown, who has kind of made it clear that he's not a fan of Grant's antics in any way, shape, or form. Do you have his comments? Okay, I thought this
actions
was...
Actions speak loud, you know, so it is what it is. We got the win, we move on, but, you know, there's no place in the game for that. I thought JT and Grant was friends. I guess not.
I thought JT and Grant was friends. I guess not. Wow.
I know we got to get to trending. When we come back, can we hear Grant's comments after the game? Because those were maybe worse than the stupid foul itself.
His self-deprecating, everything's good word salad that he offered.
So, I mean, total props to Kayla Burton from NBC Sports Boston because she
did keeping a straight face.
Well, she did an excellent job pulling him to the side and getting that exclusive with him. Grant did himself no favors.
Yeah, no one could figure it out. From Coach Joe Mazzulla to Derek White, JT himself, nobody could figure out what he was doing. But you know what? Let's give Grant Williams a chance to explain what he was doing during this shamelessly reckless play last night in the Celtics' win at the Spectrum Center against the Charlotte Bobcats. They'll run it back again tonight, but you don't need to get that from me. You need to get all the best trending sports news now from our producer extraordinaire, Joe Braverman.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics rebounded from their first loss of the season with a 124-109 win in Charlotte over the Hornets.
Wait, the Hornets play in Charlotte now?
Yeah.
When did they go back? Honestly, they've been such an mea culpa. They've been such an irrelevant franchise for so long now. Maybe that was Grant Williams trying to put the Bob Nets or the Horn Cats on the map again last night.
Him acting like a Bobcat. It's been like 10 years.
It was Bobcat behavior. Well, shame on me. I showed my age.
It's all good, Fitzy. No. Well, it was close between the Hornets and the Celtics until an implosion from the Hornets led to an 11-0 run in the fourth quarter, sparked by old friend Grant Williams, who we just mentioned. Flagrant 2 foul on Jason Tatum. He was ejected from the game, and you heard Jaylen Brown talk about that foul from Williams. He added a little bit more about, was it intentional? Was it not?
It was for sure intentional. Like, what did we talk about? Y'all see the same play that I was seeing? He hit him like it was a football play. Like Ray Lewis coming across the middle or something. It is what it is. Grant no better than that.
Well, Jason Tatum shrugged that off and finished with 32 points and 11 rebounds. Jaylen Brown, who you just heard, added 25, 6, and 5. These two will do it again from Charlotte tonight. Tip off is set for 6 o'clock. The final injury report is out for the Patriots as they head to Nashville to face the Titans. Drake May is among 8 Pats that are questionable. He remains in the concussion protocol. May is there with Alex Austin, Kyle Duggar, Christian Ellis, Michael Jordan, Vidarian Lowe, Jaquelin Roy, and Sione Takitaki. For Tennessee, defensive back Legarius Sneed and running back Tajay Spears have both been ruled out. Starters Tony Pollard, Will Levis, Tavondre Sweat, and Amani Hooker are questionable. Pats and Titans from Nissan Stadium tomorrow at 1 o'clock. The Bruins return to the ice as they look for redemption against the Flyers this afternoon in Philly. Bees have lost 5 of their last 6, including an 8-2 shellacking last time out in Carolina on Thursday. Puck drop set for 1 o'clock. In college football, Saturday is headlined by a Big Ten showdown currently taking place in the first quarter between 4th-ranked Ohio State and 3rd-ranked Penn State. Later on today, it'll be top-ranked Oregon taking on Michigan. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of that game from the Big House beginning at 3, following Fitzy and Mego. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Never touch another woman's burrito. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But you don't like to see Tatum getting trucked like that.
I don't like to see him. I'm great. I'm glad that he's fine. What I liked most was just how he jumped right up, didn't lay around, didn't really phase him. Just he went right up, went to the free throw line, did his business. So I don't like the fact that he did it, but I'm happy he's okay. But I'm more happy how he responded to it. Just get up, move on to the next play. And the team responded well, too. So it's a credit to him.
Celtics coach and judo master Joe Mazzulla. Is he a judo guy? Or
jiu-jitsu.
Is it taekwondo? Jiu-jitsu, okay.
Jiu-jitsu. I got to be honest, don't really know the difference among those different practices.
Between Aikido,
jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu, judo.
Is jiu-jitsu also now baby daddy with Giselle, right?
That's correct.
He's also jiu-jitsu?
I call him karate champ just because I want to troll him because she broke Tom Brady's heart, so that means she's on my crap list. Hell of a revenge plot, by the way, for Giselle. Like, she didn't like the roast. I'll show you, Tom.
Oh, boy. I don't know how much of that. Look, I have no idea, but
please.
What a beautiful blessing.
What a blessing. What an absolute blessing.
For the Bunchin family.
Ah, God bless the Bunchins. God bless us all. So that was Joe Mazzulla postgame talking about how he appreciated Jason Tatum's reaction, ignoring Grant Williams, brushing it off, playing the part of the tougher, braver, and also more mature man, getting up, walking away.
That's what I thought when I was
after getting hip checked by his quote friend Grant Williams last night.
When I was doing the crossover, Ken said that he thought it seemed soft.
Which, wait, hold on. Tatum's response?
Yeah, that Tatum's response.
What's he supposed to do?
Soft.
Get up and smack
yeah,
him?
Yeah, that he didn't get in Grant's face to say, like, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
That's just never been Tatum's vibe.
That's someone else's job on that team.
Yeah.
Now, is there an enforcer on the Celtics?
Let me think. The closest thing that they've had to that in a while would have been Smart. Like, Grant wanted it so bad.
I think Jalen's kind of molding into it.
Jalen is not afraid of confrontation.
Correct. He's not afraid. He's a spokesman for sure.
Jalen comes and, like, steps to you with the muscle he put on over the summer.
Mm.
When, by the way, my husband, most of the time when I'm watching basketball, leaves the room because he says I'm not a fun person to watch basketball with.
Why?
And there's a lot of noises and commentary that I run throughout.
That's great.
But he said that
you should make that like an OnlyFans. People, who would not want to be involved in a Mego Celtics watch party?
I'm open to other revenue streams.
As long as they're not sharing burritos.
Hands off.
Well, you watch by yourself. You could do it at lonelyfans.com.
We were watching last night, and he was like, what did Jalen do? And I said, so what do you mean? And he said, no, he did not look like that during the playoffs. Mm-hmm. What did he do? He was like, the veins are popping. Like, mm-hmm. What? How did he do that? I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's jealous.
You know, he worked his anger and his frustration on not being selected to the Olympic team and having his Nike feud and everything else. He turned that into muscle this summer. And good for him because, you know, I know the Golden State Warriors are coming back to town this week, a shell of themselves. But Steve Kerr showing up should bring out the best and then some in a 3-point barrage that'll be fueled by Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown and company. But back to last night. That's the kind of game where it's supposed to be thoroughly unremarkable. Like, this is mm-hmm. supposed to just be a game between the cream of the crop, the best of the best, and a team struggling to achieve an identity for themselves now that they actually have Lonzo Ball, right? Like, they're healthy for the first time in a while.
LaMelo.
LaMelo, sorry. Oh, Lonzo plays in Chicago, right? See, I get the Balls and the Hornets and the Bobcats.
Technically, he's on the roster in Chicago. He's a bit of a Robert Williams over there.
Gotcha, yeah. Can't make the club from the tub.
Mm-hmm.
Got you. So the Bobcats / Hornets / Charlotte basketball franchise, we'll call them now. The Charlotte basketball team is looking to make an identity for themselves. If Grant Williams thought, I know, this is the most eyeballs we'll probably have on our team because the biggest ticket in the NBA happens to be in town, so I'll make this idiot splash play. I mean, maybe some people in Charlotte are happy for him, but I think it's borderline disgraceful that he just lost. Like a toddler running across a room unaware of adults, people holding glassware. It really is idiotic. And it didn't merit an immediate retaliation from Tatum. But at the same time, the fact that they have to humor this bonehead and that he's just ruined all the goodwill that he had, it seems, with the Celtics is disappointing. And then he goes on to, as you brought up earlier, Mego, we should hear this now, his explanation that he gave to Caleb Burton as to what he was thinking and how it's all good while wearing this goofball million dollar mile wide grin. I mean, get out of here with this. Listen.
I think it's more so he didn't see me more than anything else. Like, I'm reaching, like, I...
Timeout, stop. It's more so he didn't see me. He's dribbling up the court, and here just comes 250 pounds of doofus streaking across at a diagonal.
Grant, you're not the commuter rail. people aren't bringing the ball up. Heads up, there's a Grant Williams that might be arriving in about 2 seconds. That's not how this works.
I mean, my God, that's... All right, anyway, back to it.
I think it's more so he didn't see me.
No.
Anything else. Like, I'm reaching, like, I definitely made contact with his body before I reached. But probably a hard foul. Definitely not intentional. Not trying to hurt him by any means. We all know he's one of my closest friends in the league. And as you see, he got up.
All right. Are they really the closest friends? Because if
they
were close friends,
don't know that they are. I mean, if they're really they were close friends when they were on the Celtics.
Because you know you have friends that think, like, we all have friends in our lives that we, I won't say humor, but they're those people like, oh, yeah, yeah, they reply to their text every now and again, like, oh, that's cool, or, like, great to hear from you. And they write back Dead Sea Scrolls of text, and they're always like, yeah, man, we should hang out.
No, I think they were boys.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they did. So why did Deuce not dap him up in that famous viral clip?
That was the joke.
That was their thing.
He knew. He knew before all of us.
Because it started with...
See, that's it, Joe.
It started with Tatum when Grant was in the Batman costume and Tatum being like, oh my God.
So corny.
Like, Grant,
I think they called it corny.
You're so embarrassing. And that was kind of the thing, was like, Grant was the punching bag, like the little brother.
But I'm going to call him Grant, not call him no damn Batman.
Tatum would make fun of him, but it was like, cool, because they were boys. And so the Deuce Dap video, that's what it was all about.
Okay, so that was well played out, sort of anti-comedy. I got you. Okay. But now this could put that relationship in pair. All right, back to Grant Williams and his word salad.
I raised my hand like I thought it was a foul. JB kind of escalated it, but I understand he's trying to protect his teammate and stuff like that. But that's my dog. No matter what, you know, I got his back, and I don't mean to, didn't mean to try and. If it, you know, I don't know, he won't take it, so he'll text me later tonight. But wasn't that bad.
Did JB have any words with you? Did you guys talk after?
No, not yet. I think he doesn't think it was a basketball play, which I think that's what he commented or something like that.
It wasn't.
I can maybe see, just in terms of, like, because he didn't see me. But it's a similar thing. Like, if you see somebody in transition and I reach across his body, I make decent contact with him, so I understand how, like, kind of like maybe a blindside. He was more surprised than anything else. But, like, it wasn't like I took him out or took his leg out or did anything else. Like, we've seen way worse in the league. And
okay, Grant, that's enough now.
At the end of the day, like, that's, we all know my dog. So, no,
that's
malice
the third, my dog.
Any issue. That's what it is.
Honest to God, he's really just like 10 words. As somebody who does not practice an economy of words, let me tell you, Grant, 10 words for one Williams really can. Really can lay it out.
You know
there.
What I would have said if I were Grant in that situation? That I would say, ironically, because we're the Hornets, there was a bee on the court, and I was running away from the bee, and I didn't have my EpiPen. Like, that's the only kind of reason that you can come up with. And by the way, the worst part of that word salad, other than taking zero accountability for just being a total idiot in that play, is that he says Jaylen Brown tried to escalate it.
He escalated it. Did you miss the part where you ran into a top five player in the league? The heart of the Celtics and their best chance at repeating as NBA champions, you know, your dog, your boy.
It's so ridiculous.
It is.
Like, he was kind of trying to pass the blame on to Jaylen Brown by going, oh, yeah, it was a bang-bang play from me. But then Jaylen stepped to me and tried to make it even something more.
And just, like, watched you run into their best player.
To take out Tatum. Tatum's walking away, which is the right thing to do. And Brown is trying to have his back. That's what happened. It wasn't
a
bang bang.
Now I need to know
play.
If they talked last night. Now I'm this is, I'll tell you what, there's a lot that may come from this. One of the things being, this will be the most I will be interested in a Celtics pregame show in a long, long time. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Let's hear from you good people like Joe, who happens to be in the car and wants to talk a little Tatum. What's up, buddy?
Hey,
Michael, long time no talk,
hey, Joe.
I miss you guys. Hey, how you doing, Joe? What's going on, my guy?
Bigger, you're not gonna like what I gotta say to you guys, because you know what, Tatum. This is why I love Jaylen Brown over Tatum. Every great that I know, and I grew up watching basketball in the '80s and '90s, they had that fire. I mean, if that was something Michael Jordan or or to Isaiah Thomas or Larry Bird. I mean, I can go on and on. You retaliate, man. I mean, Jason Tatum's soft, and that's why I have a hard time loving this guy. He's soft in the playoffs. I don't care what he does during the regular season, but he's soft in the playoffs. That was his opportunity right there to show the world, I'm a new man. I'm hungry, man. You know what they did to him in the Olympics? That was disrespectful. I gotta agree. But Jason Tatum, man, you gotta fight your own battles, man. That was the opportunity right there to set the tone going forward. I mean, that's why I love Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown, he's got that fire. I mean, you see him in the playoffs. You see him like that. I just love Jaylen Brown over Jason Tatum. And things like this is why I have a hard time loving Jason Tatum, even though I know he's a great player. But I love guys with a little edge in them, the guy's, I'm not going to say he's great. I even have a hard time telling him Jason Tatum's great, because I just don't feel like he's got all that yet. I mean, the kid's got all that muscle for what? All that muscle for what? You know, you just said it, 50. You went to the gym, he's got veins pop. All that muscle, use the muscle. Let's go. Use the muscle, Tatum. Let's go.
All right, thank you so much, Joe. We appreciate it. He put on muscle this offseason, as did Jaylen Brown. Everyone was putting on muscle this offseason. Did you get the offseason muscle memo?
Clearly not, no.
All the Celtics yoked it up. Everyone's got muscle. You got muscle. He's got muscle. Everyone puts on muscle. So Joe, I feel like, represents a working man's, like, real, true, bleed green, diehard Celtics fans kind of mentality, that Jaylen Brown, by being a bit more assertive, by being a little more emotional, by being a little more aggressive and being more physical, kind of works his way into the heart of the Boston fan. That's what they want to see. They want to see the guy that cares. They want to see the guy that bleeds. They want to see the guy that hustles. And sometimes, I don't think this play is indicative of it, Mego, but I think sometimes there is a perceived indifference that comes off of Tatum that makes people think he doesn't care. Is like, hey, you're getting $60 million bucks to play this game. I paid $250 to come watch you play it. You should care as much on court as I care from my very expensive
sub has bacon.
My speech. Also, his sub has bacon.
Tatum cares a lot. Like, he does. I think he just has,
he's just a different cat.
The way he carries himself sometimes is with a nonchalance that doesn't show that. But obviously, he cares a lot.
He's very non-spoken. He's soft in the way of, he kind of keeps more to himself, whereas Jaylen Brown is a lot more outspoken.
But I will say this, and I know sometimes it's like, we're supposed to act like there's not another radio station in the city, but Joe Mazzulla did go on the Guys Across the Street, one of their shows.
It's across the street, about 20 miles down
20
the road,
miles, yep. Wherever they are now,
yep.
Who said, I was talking about the, like, metaphorical across the street.
Yes.
Okay. He said that he like wants to see more fighting in the NBA. He wants to see it more akin to the NHL.
Yep.
And that would like to see that. And so I'm like, well, there
wants
is.
A return to the, like, Mizzou.
So he can break out his jiu-jitsu moves.
Yeah. No, does he really want it to go back to, like, the like Detroit Pistons, like Rick Mahorn,
yes,
bad boys of basketball?
That's what it seems like to me. And so maybe this was a little taste of that, of what that is like. I just think that the league, first of all, the league's just not going to embrace that, because they want the overall, like, the biggest, the lowest common denominator, and a lot of people don't want to watch fighting in basketball. Like, nope. It's just, they don't want to watch fighting in football. NHL is something different because it's been part of the culture for so long. Mm-hmm. But I think that, like, it just wouldn't come off well if that was the case. And this is just a little glimpse of what it would be like. And there were no fists flying or anything. But again, these are also guys who, like, know each other and used to be teammates and were friends, probably will be friends again. It's just very odd.
When a guy's banging you, you spin off of him. Those are the worst defenders to play against, actually. Because if you can feel their body, come on.
18 points for Joker, only Nugget in double figures. 69-59. Golden State shooting 67.
See, that's what happens. That's what happens. That's what the NBA... Sorry, that's just maybe my favorite, literally my favorite all-time.
When a guy's banging you...
He's just
I think
crazy.
if you cut to Shaq, he's still in the corner laughing. I think that's sort of, to me, it's like in the NFL, back when Bill Polian and Peyton Manning and everyone complained, oh, no, the Patriots are being too rough with us. We can't run our high-powered offense. Oh. And then they got the rules changed. Thus began the fantasy footballification of the NFL, if you will. If you want to, if now it's you can't touch anyone, there's too many threes raining down, and they want to, like, force a more, you know, I guess, you know, West 4th Street, Rucker Park style of basketball into the NBA, I think people would be not just disappointed. I think people would tune out.
Well,
because people want to see fluid basketball,
also,
great moves and scoring.
It's different to be a physical rim protector than to truck somebody in the middle of the floor, like in an open court. It's different
when
to be.
When a guy's banging you.
Exactly.
508 texter here. Of course, you can reach us at 37937. Hey, ask Rudy Tomjanovich how that worked out for him. Not well, because it almost killed him. That's a deep reference as well. Did you ever see that famous clothesline? Mm-hmm. I think it was Kermit Washington or Kermit Wilson. I think Kermit Washington. Rudy Tomjanovich running up the court. Guy just extends his arm, literally goes for the complete, clothesline, but hits Rudy in the face. I think it, like, collapsed his nose,
couldn't breathe.
He had to go to the hospital. Yeah, yeah. So he was more than just the guy that coached Olajuwon and Sampson back during the heydays of the Houston Rockets, like, you know, good basketball player whose career just like that. I don't think that I don't want to see a more physical style of basketball.
I don't love
500 threes a game.
There should be a balance.
Yeah.
And there will be, like, all of these things. Look, there's a part of it that's a math equation, and the three-point shot is just going to reign supreme until they put in a different rule to limit it, especially if they don't want the corner threes, because what you see from the AAU level up is guys booking it down to the corner and shooting a three, and that's just not that exciting for a lot of casual viewers. So you're going to have centers coming in like Wembanyama, who, or Giannis or Embiid, who are going to take things into a different direction a little bit and bring some more of that physicality. But again, physicality is different than a completely idiotic, flagrant two foul on a superstar. You can't have that.
I do wonder this, and I see your calls coming in at 617-779-7937. We will try to get to you momentarily on the other side, but I want to ask you this, Mego. Do you think that something, an incidental play of contact and idiocy from Grant Williams could possibly hip other teams to how you should play the Celtics? I wonder if there's going to be fallout or if you'll see other teams try to be more physical with the Celtics. We'll get to what could be the long-term ramifications of this. A little more Grant Williams and Celtics talk here in the first hour of Fitzy and Mega. We're with you 12-3. Patriots and Drake May, possible trade deadline talk coming up. Everything's on the table with you here on WEEI.
Like what JB just said, I didn't think that, obviously he wasn't going for the ball. And just too damn big to be doing stuff like that, you know that. But JB's got our back always, and we always know that. And we got JT's back always.
As my guy, Derek White.
Derek White and Drew Holiday are in a competition for best guy in the league.
Yeah.
It's that you have two guys of that character level of Derek White and Drew Holiday. Like, Derek White's like, I'm just going to unintentionally be like the most humble NBA player. Literally, I've never heard him complain about anything ever, ever, ever in a media availability ever. And Drew Holiday's like, I'm just going to be the greatest role model in the NBA. And that you have two of them on this team. We talk about like the spoils of talent, but the spoils of having those two good guys in your locker room, huge. Just had to say that.
And I appreciate you saying that as well, because that's almost the first thing I think of every time I think of Derek White, aside from his incredible ability to come through in the clutch and do whatever you need. Is it a late game block? Is it a tip in? Is it a 3-pointer from the corner? I still think earlier in the week when they staged that epic comeback against the Pacers only to fall apart in overtime. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Jaylen Brown. The final shot should have gone to Derek
Jaylen
White.
Jaylen and Jason were so cold in that overtime.
Tatum went 0-for-5 from 3 in overtime. If they didn't play hero ball.
And they missed 3 free throws.
3 out of 4.
They
had
rough.
No business. You come back from 24 down only to lose in overtime. They had no business losing that game.
No.
Actually, they almost had no business being back in overtime, to be honest. That's probably fair as well. But my question before we went into the commercial break, Mego, is do you think other teams will play the Celtics differently because of the Grant Williams situation last night. Do you think, now we know Joe Mazzulla talked about earlier in the offseason, knowing that the Celtics will have a target on their back, he going so far as the psycho killer Keska say that he is, to say, I hope there's a red dot on my forehead and I can see it coming. Okay. It's a little aggressive, but it's very Mazzulla.
The court to taste like blood.
Yeah. Well, we're all going to be dead soon anyway, so it's not going to matter. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but spoiler alert, you're not invited to his funeral. What an odd bird. But again, when they win,
we
love it.
In someone's eyes.
When they win, we love it. When they don't, not as so much.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think people will play the Celtics differently now? Will there be some sort of blueprint or roadmap or idea?
Why? Because
like,
they think Tatum's soft?
Yeah,
they
like, you know what?
Team soft?
Yeah, the Celtics, they didn't fight back last night. Tatum just got up and walked away. Jaylen Brown, as Grant Williams said, escalated it. But did he really escalate it? It didn't turn into the malice at the palace or anything, although I can sort of see the showdown at the Spectrum coming to be if, and by the way, Jaylen Brown out tonight, by the way. Mego just let me know during the commercial break.
Yeah, hip flexor.
Yeah, funny how Jason Tatum takes one to the hip from Grant Williams, and yet it's Jaylen Brown that's out with the left hip flexor.
It's like when you have a twin and you have a migraine and your twin gets the migraine. That's how close those guys are.
They are. People were wondering.
Can't split
two
them
different
up.
Players, two different cabs. They don't like each other. No, they do actually, as a matter of fact.
I love this from the text line. The long-term fallout is the rest of the league will now always think of Grant Williams as a douche.
here we go. Thank you very much, 978. Fitzy, Kermit Washington wasn't a clothesline. It was a skirmish, and he sucker-punched Rudy. Okay,
wow.
I apologize for misremembering it in that capacity. But, yeah, that was pretty nasty. I just wonder if teams will try to take it to the Celtics now a little bit
more. I think they always have been. So, look, they have the target. They're going to get every team's best, unless it's a load management situation or a back-to-back or something like that. But I don't think it is a different attempt that guys are going to go in with against the Celtics. I also don't think it looks soft. I think it just makes Grant Williams look really dumb is the biggest takeaway from it. And I think it's a bad look for Grant Williams. It's a fine look for the Celtics and for Jason Tatum to respond the way he did. And I don't really think it reveals anything beyond that.
Yeah,
I am curious about tonight because, like we were just talking about, if somebody was going to have some kind of retaliation tonight, I would expect it to be Jaylen Brown because they see the Hornets again tonight. But now Jaylen's out, so it's not going to be him.
So who's going to be Kata?
What if it's like Peyton Pritchard?
I was going to say, just send Pritchard right in. Pop one right there.
I don't think Peyton.
I'm going to hit them both.
I don't
both.
Think Peyton's about that life either.
I don't think so either.
There's that, like, there's not really a mean streak with many guys on this team. Which, again,
no,
goes back
not.
To you have Derek, you have Drew. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think guys can be aggressive, but there's not the mean streak.
No, there isn't. But full well knowing that everyone is gunning for them and that people are going to play them more physically and that since you're the show, since you're the reigning champion, you're the one that gets all the pub, you get all the love, you are going to get everyone's best every night. Do you think these Celtics are physically and mentally... It's, tough start to the season, tough loss in Indiana, obviously tough one last night that they get the win in Charlotte. Now they run it back tonight at 6:00. Do you think the Celtics are prepared for what a grind this season is going to be?
Yeah, I do. And I don't think it really matters because they're so much more talented than most other teams. Like, that's the benefit that you have of having the depth on your roster. I'll ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm thinking about, like, who has a mean streak on this Celtics team?
Like, is there
anybody who you would be like... Don't want to get into an altercation, a confrontation with that person.
Aside from Jaylen Brown, not Porzingis, not certainly not Pritchard, not Tatum, not Derek White, not Drew Holiday. No, they don't have an enforcer.
No, I mean like the person who got into that fight with Derek White at the Colorado game where he like hit his hat. That's more just like I feel like any way that you're on the other side. You look like the bad guy.
Right. You look like a dumbass because the Celtics have literally like. Risen above the fray, if you will. Like, they don't play down in the mud. They don't stoop to a level that some other teams and some other ne'er-do-wells of professional sports or the NBA do, which I think I appreciate about them as well. But I can just see teams thinking that's the only way. You literally have to try to knock these guys off their game.
That's kind of how it was in the 22 finals with Draymond Green, and he was pulling Jaylen Brown's pants down on the court and getting
anything
in there,
to get in his head.
Totally got in those Celtics' heads. I think this is they've grown up a lot from there, where they're just kind of like, you play your stupid games, we'll be over here winning.
617-779-7937 is the number here at WEEI if you want to holler in and talk Celtics or anything else that's on the table from 12 to 3 with Fitzy and Miggo. When we come back, as we flip the script and move on to the second hour of today's program, time to talk some Patriots. We'll see if we can get you the latest on the Drake May situation. Will QB10 be QB1 tomorrow at Nissan Stadium in front of throngs of Patriots fans in Nash Vegas? Do you want to see him out there? And what's up with all these new names popping up as possible candidates on the trade market? Mego and I will get you all the latest when we come back. Don't you go anywhere.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.